Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning? What an exciting time to be in the kingdom of God, and just an exciting time to be a part of this church. There's so many just incredible things going on. I hope everybody's had a great weekend. I know that we did. We just got back from a retreat, a little overnight retreat with some of the core married group here, and it was just a really exciting time, just building friendship. And you know, that's what I love about the kingdom so much, is that we get to build family. It's not just something that we come to once a week, but we get to build family. And I just remember, Bill around the bar. Barbecue and Alicia laughing, all night long, and just some of the other, we just had so much fun talking and fellowshipping, and I'm just really excited. I know some of the other people are excited too. They got to go camping this week. So who went camping? Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, we did.
No accidents, nothing like that. Nobody got bit by chiggers or no. Okay, so it was a good time. It's just really exciting to be a part of the church. And, this week also we got to talk about gifts. And I want you to know that those things didn't get filed in a drawer. We are going through those, and I'm going through those, and I'm going to get other people involved with going through those, because, like, some people need to know about some of the gifts, because, like, Mike needs to know who wants to help with ushering and stuff like that. And so I just want you to know those are not being thrown away. That was not just something we did, but we're going to really pray about that to make sure everybody in the church is invested and has a role and feels a part of the church instead of just showing up on Sundays. And so, but let's go ahead and start out with a prayer, and we'll get into the sermon. Father, thank you so much, God, for this morning. Thank you for the amazing family that I have, Marge and I have been brought into here in Auburn, Tuskegee, and the Atomic Church, whoever said that. We're just really grateful, God, for just all the things that you're doing, God, all the ways that you're changing us and molding us and helping us, God, to have a better relationship with you. And Father, we just are so thankful, God, that we can have a relationship with you. Thankful that we can pray to you. You listen to us. Thank you that you bring us together for the incredible fellowship that we have. And Father, I just really think that the thing that really sets this church apart is the incredible fellowship. And I'm just so grateful for that. And Father, I just pray that today we have a great time looking at your word, looking at love, and looking at how much you love. And today we're going to focus on truth. And thank you so much, God, that you've showed us the truth through your word. And Father, just let your spirit be here today with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we are finishing up our series. We've been having a series on Jesus Is, and we've been talking about just all the incredible things that Jesus is. And it's been really awesome because it's made me, what do I hear a noise? Am I making that noise? Okay. But it makes me really think more about Jesus. And hopefully you've been spurred on a little bit just to start thinking, like, who is Jesus? What can I study out about him? What can I learn, and what can I share with other people just about how awesome Jesus is? And so we're closing out. I told you we wouldn't leave love out, and we are not doing a one-week lesson on love, and it will only be truth, but we're going to talk about a couple different parts of how Jesus loved. And so today we're going to talk about the truth. And a lot of times we don't associate love with the truth, right? And so I want to read you a story here. A lot of us know this story. This is the emperor's new clothes. And it says, once upon a time, there was an emperor whose only interest in life was to dress up in fashionable clothes. He kept changing his clothes so that people could admire him. What was that? Did I read something wrong? Oh, okay. Somebody said, okay, am I hearing things? I must be hearing things today. Oh, I thought somebody said he instead of him. Okay. Once two thieves decided to teach him a lesson. They told the emperor that there were very fine tailors and could sew a lovely new suit for him. It would be so light and fine that it would seem invisible. Only those who were stupid could not see it. The emperor was very excited and ordered the new tailors to begin their work. One day, the king asked the prime minister to go and see how much work the two tailors had done. He saw the two men moving scissors in the air, but he could see no cloth. He kept quiet for fear of being called stupid and ignorant. Instead, he praised the fabric and said it was marvelous. Finally, the emperor's new dress was ready. He could see nothing, but he too did not want to appear stupid. He admired the dress and thanked the tailors. He was asked to parade down the street for all to see the new clothes. The emperor paraded down the main street. The people could only see the naked emperor, but no one admitted it for fear of being thought stupid. They foolishly praised the invisible fabric and the colors. The emperor was very happy. Yay. At last, a child cried out, "The emperor's naked!" Soon, everyone began to murmur the same thing, and very soon, all shouted, "The emperor is not wearing anything." The emperor realized the truth, but preferred to believe that his people were stupid. And you know, you think about that, sometimes the truth is good. I mean, somebody should have said in the beginning to this guy that there's nothing, you're not wearing anything. I mean, wouldn't that be a good truth to know? I mean, how much did these people really love the emperor? They probably didn't love him that much. They were more concerned about being called stupid than they were about loving this emperor. And so the truth is a good thing. The truth is a good thing, but a lot of times we do not associate truth and love together. We don't see them as being one. And John, turn your Bibles over to John. In verse 1, a lot of people have heard me talking about this lately, but it's something that's really been on my heart because this is who Jesus is. And as you know, John is a great description about Jesus, right? When you read through the book of John, we can find a lot of things about who the character of Jesus, what was he like, what made him go, and what was he thinking, and you know, we can learn so much from about Jesus in the book of John. And in the beginning, it kind of describes what the book is going to be talking about. It's talking about Jesus, and one of the things it says, and actually says this in a couple different locations, but in John 1:14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, this is something that I know that I have a hard time grasping and understanding, and I think a lot of us do. Because a lot of times when we think about Jesus and we think about His love, we tend to think about whatever side we are. So some of us are more grace-centered kind of people, and some of us are more truth kind of people. And so in our mind, when we think about Jesus, we tend to go to the side of where we associate Jesus with, instead of seeing Jesus for who He really is. Because we want to be people that are spreading about the love of Jesus, not just something that we've made up, not just something it's because I'm this way, you know, and we all probably consider us, you know, some people consider like I'm loving, so therefore, because the other person thinks different than me, he's not that loving, you know, but we got to really see that Jesus was, he was not just one-sided. It's kind of like this, you know, here's grace, and that's yellow, right? And there's truth, and truth is blue, maybe, I don't know. My colors came out kind of weird. But anyway, it comes out, if you put yellow and blue together, what do you get?
Green.
You get green. It takes to get Jesus too. It takes 100% of yellow and 100% of blue. If you put 100 and 100 together, you get 200%, right? That 200% makes green. And the same thing when we think about Jesus. Jesus was all grace, and he was all truth. So therefore, he was 100% grace, and he was 100% truth. So in our mind, we have a hard time grasping that, because in our mind, we think more on the 50-50, right? We think, well, I'm either 50, maybe if you think that you're right in the middle, you think, well, I'm 50% grace and I'm 50% truth, yeah. Right? Or I'm 75% grace and I'm 25% truth. But Jesus was so incredibly awesome that the way that he loved, it may not make sense to us, but this is who he was. He was 100% and 100% all at one time. And so when we think about how Jesus loved, because I would say that the most, the biggest topic when you think, when you ask people, so who is Jesus? We say he's the one who loves us, right? That's probably out of all the things we've been thinking about, that's probably the number one thing that most people would say. And so I want to help us to see it, though, in a way that it really is. Mm-hmm. Jesus was 100% grace, and he was 100% of the truth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I mean, I just think about that, and it blows my mind that Jesus was so perfect. In our mind, we'd say perfect is 50-50. In his mind, it's 100 and 100. And that's the Jesus that we follow. That's the God that we follow. He's all grace and he's all truth. And so that really gets us into, you know, we're going to be talking for the next couple of weeks about love. And so we are actually going to be talking about grace a lot, because we're going to be moving after this series here. We're going to be moving into a whole series about grace, because I think it's one subject a lot of us want to know more about, but a lot we don't really get it sometimes. And so we're going to be studying a lot about the grace and that, you know, that part of the love. But today we're going to focus on the truth, because the truth is equally important as the grace. And so this is a quote. It says, "Love without truth is sentimentality. It supports and affirms us, but keeps us in denial about our flaws. Truth without love is harshness. It gives us information, but in such a way that we cannot really hear it. God's saving love in Christ, however, is marked by radical truthfulness about who we are, and yet also radical unconditional commitment to us. The merciful commitment strengthens us to see the truth about ourselves and repent. The conviction and repentance moves us to cling to and rest in God's mercy and grace." And so, you know, love without truth, it says there, is sentimentality. And we definitely don't want to be known as the sentimental Church of Christ. We want to be known as a church who really sees the love of Jesus for what it is. Turn your Bibles over, or you can look up here in Mark chapter 7, chapter 10, in verse 17. And we're going to look at a scripture here about the rich young man, because it really shows a great example of Jesus' love. Maybe not how we would love, but again, we want to strive to be like Jesus, right? So we realize that our love is not perfect. But when we look at the love of Christ, we can see him in all his perfection, because he was completely all grace and completely all truth. And so in Mark 10, verse 17, it says, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' 'Teacher,' he declared, 'all these I've done since I was a boy.' Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And many of us know this story, and a lot of times we think about that and we think, wow, like, did Jesus just let this guy go away sad? Like, sometimes we can look at these things and I think deep down in our heart we can say, was Jesus really loving here? But I think Jesus was really loving. And so he comes up and he says, good teacher. And so he recognized Jesus as a good teacher. And then Jesus says, well, no one is good except God alone. And then it goes through this little bit here. He says, well, you know the commandments. And so the commandments, you know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't have false testimony, don't defraud, and honor your father and mother. And the guy replies, he says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. So this, just on the outward appearance here, what this guy was, he was a very good guy, right? He really tried to love God and follow God to some great, you know, great extent. And so I think when he went through this, he kind of went through this checklist and he probably like, yeah, I didn't never murdered anybody. And check, you know, I never, you know, did anything bad against my mom and dad. And he was thinking like, wow, so Jesus, at least that's what I think, he was expecting this answer, that he's probably expecting like Jesus is just going to say, come on in. It's all, you know, it's just waiting for you. Because he's probably thinking more on the kind of love, like, you know, if Jesus really loves me, he's going to see how awesome I am. But Jesus already said, he says, no one is good except God alone. And so he pointed out there was more to him following God than just this checklist of where he felt, probably got a little pride from even, because he thought he was so good in those areas. And so the truth, though, when we look at that, you know, the question I have is, when we look at this story, do we really see and do we really understand that God is being loving in this situation? Do we really see in the deep down part of our heart, do we really feel like God is being totally loving by pointing out more, even when the guy said, I'm pretty good at everything? You know, the truth is a very important thing, because like the one scripture said, or the one quote said, it turns into sentimentality. Yeah. And Jesus could have been very sentimental here. Right. He could have said, oh, this poor guy, he's really tried to follow me, so you know what? I'm going to make an exception for him. I really like this guy. Mm. He could have done that. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's the way we want to be. We want to be this sentimental to people, because we don't want to hurt anybody, right? We don't want to tell people the things that maybe even the Bible is pointing out, especially the Bible's pointing out, because that's where we want to show people, right? We don't want to be just people that think that we got all the wisdom and we know the truth. We want to show people the scriptures. But sometimes we have a hard time saying what needs to be said, right? Because there's a fear that comes along with it. But the thing is that no change comes with sentimentality. That's the problem with sentimentality. That you'll never experience change, whether it's for you or for someone else. We'll never experience that change that needs to happen. There will be no molding of character. And feelings, the thing about feelings, because Jesus could have said, oh, I feel so good about this guy because he said all these good things. Mm-hmm. See, the problem with feelings is that feelings don't always tell the truth, right? I mean, how many times have we felt something, but then we realized that what we were feeling was totally opposite of what was happening? Yeah. You know, but somehow when it comes to when we see Jesus, we think, oh, I feel for this person. And we get led by the feelings instead of being led by the love. Yeah. of Jesus and his truth. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, as I say all this, keep in mind, because some of our minds are going, well, if I just tell the truth, then people are all going to be mad at me. Well, no, it has to be combined with the other part of love, which we'll get to next time, is the grace. And so you can't have one without the other, though. And we got to be very comfortable with that, because that is the love that Jesus has shown even to this man here. And so the fact is, we need to hear the truth. There can be no love if there's no truth. Imagine if we went around this fellowship and we just told everybody what you want to hear. Oh, you're awesome and you're great and, you know, oh, you're just the best and there's nothing wrong with you at all and you're perfect. I mean, if that was the extent of our fellowship, we would have a very pointless fellowship. Right. Because we would all be here to lift up each other and get our egos high so that we can walk around thinking we're all great. You know, but Jesus points out to this person here that no one is good except God alone. And that really is the same thing for us. None of us are good. I'm not a good person. The only one that's good is God alone. And I always want to make sure that God stays at the center. He's, you know, I want to get the truth from him so that I can live a great life. But the truth is important. If there's no truth, there is no love. Now let's think about that a little bit. You know, I wonder if you see somebody who's got some food in their teeth and they're talking to you. It's one of your close friends. And they're talking to you and they got this big piece of food in your mouth. And you're just like, I don't want to tell them what's wrong. I don't want to tell them they got this big old green piece of whatever in their mouth. And I'm just afraid. I don't want to, because I might hurt them. But the problem is they're going to end up talking to someone else. That thing might come flying out at somebody. I don't know. But that is surely not love for that person. You know, I wonder if Trey showed up for church, Trey and Katira showed up for church like this on Sunday. You know, Trey walks in like, I'm cool with my accordion pants. And Katira, she's wearing eggs and bacon on her head. I mean, somebody needs to tell them, this is a little bit weird, and people are going to look at you very strange by doing this, right? I mean, imagine not telling them the truth. It really, what we would do is we'd end up hurting them, and people would just have this weird impression of them. I'm glad you don't dress like this. Okay, now these people right here. I don't know what got into their brain. I don't know if you've ever operated a forklift before, but I used to operate a forklift when I worked in a grocery store. And I know when you put too much weight and it goes too high, there's a little bit of problem there. Well, what they decided to do, because they couldn't reach it, they decided to put a forklift on top of a forklift.
Innovation.
Innovation. Now, what will happen if nobody tells these people the truth about what's going on here? What will happen?
Pain, hurt,
breaks the forklift, but eventually, if it breaks the forklift, guess what? That forklift's going down with those two people hanging on the side. I mean, that could result in death. But I think, you know, we've got to see that truth is love. Because if you didn't tell them what was going on in this, imagine one of the guy, couple of guys in here doing this. You know, I think Bill would be the first thing. He'd be like, nah, you can't do that. All right, this guy here. Someone should have told this guy. Especially, I mean, I don't know if you see this guy's face over here. See his face? I don't know what they were thinking before they decided to do this, but somebody should have said, out of love, that this is not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. Oh, we got the last one here. You know, you might be wanting to have a party, but this is not the way to do it. These guys really came up with a brilliant idea. They needed to hook up whatever they got there, so they put the electric cord in the water. Now, somebody needs to tell these people the truth. They need to tell these, I mean, because what's going to happen to these people if they don't figure this out quick? They're going down. They're going to get shocked. And you know, but I want you to think about your life. You know, do we need people in our life? Do we need to follow that example of Jesus telling the truth? Do we need that? Because while we may not shock ourselves in a pool like these guys, we may get shocked in life.
Yeah.
We may get shocked in our relationship with God or not, we may do something that really hurts our relationship with God. We may get shocked in the fellowship. We may do something that's going to hurt somebody. We may get shocked in our own life. We may do something that's going to hurt ourselves. But you know, the reality is if we see love, we got to make sure that it's grace and the truth. And not just 50-50, but it's all grace and truth. But I really just want to point out today that the truth is important. The truth is really, really important because none of us would want to be this. You know, and going back to that scripture in Mark 10, it says, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Jesus looked at him and he loved this person. He didn't hate this person. His intent wasn't to drive this person away. His intent wasn't to show him something that was going to destroy him and hurt him for the rest of his life. His intent was love.
Yeah.
His intent was to point out an area in this person's life, in this case it was wealth, where it wasn't good because he had put his priority and his love in God. He saw more of his love for God, love in money and his love for wealth, than he did the importance of his love of the truth, his love for God. And so Jesus, he did love him, and he said, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Mm-hmm. Now what happened to this guy? It says here that the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. See, this man, he wasn't ready to accept the love of Jesus. The love was still there, though. Jesus never backed down on that love. In fact, Jesus even let the man go away. He didn't go, oh, I want you, come back. He said, no, you know, he was not ready for my love. Now, maybe, we don't know, could be down the line this man maybe did come back. We don't know that. But we know from this story that the amazing love of Jesus was able to tell him the truth. Amen. The rich man couldn't see the love in the truth. What would have been different if this man really did see that this was being loving? That his treasure was even so much greater in heaven than his physical wealth on earth. This man's life could have been so much differently. But all we know is that he just went away and his face fell because that was so important to us. You know, whenever I think about this scripture, I think of something that happened around my life. And I'll just share this story with you here. This was a newspaper article back in 1991. It says, two men killed by officer were shot 20 times. Compton, this is from Compton, Los Angeles. One was hit 12 times and his brother 8 times. Many of the bullets struck them in the back, an autopsy shows. The officer has been placed on desk duty pending completion of investigations. And it says the two brothers from Compton, Italia, and I don't know how to read the rest of it, they were shot a total of 20 times and so on and so on. And in fact, the family sued the police and they actually got, I think, $4 or $5 million. Never enough, though, to replace the two sons. Excuse me. But whenever I think about that story of the rich man, I think about this story because this man, Italia, was a guy that I studied the Bible with. He was coming around the church for quite some time, and he had studied the Bible. He studied actually all the way through. He was about ready to become a Christian. And he came up to me one day, and he was a big Samoan guy. He was a star football player at El Camino College. He had a great future in front of him. Big dude, you know, but just the nice, if you ever met some Samoan people, just the nicest, loving people you can imagine. And before this happened, this guy, Italia, he came up to me and he said, you know, I want to stop studying the Bible. And I said, why do you want to stop studying the Bible? He says, you know, I really need to be truthful with you. I've been coming around the church because I had an interest in this one sister. And he had been coming all along and studied the Bible because he had an interest in the sister, because she invited him out to church, actually. But I was like, Italia, like, but do you know the truth? He says, yeah, I know the truth. He says, I really understand everything that we went through in the Bible. I know what it takes to be a disciple. I know that that's the only way I can get to heaven. He said, but you know what? Right now, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for the truth. But I promise that one day, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back and get my life right. And I said, Italia, please. And he was a great guy, and just a good friend. And I've thought about this story over and over for years, because this was in 1991. Probably less than a year after I was baptized. And he had just meant so much to my heart, because we had poured so much in, and he was, you know, it was, seeing him make that decision, it was like, oh man, Italia. You know, but do you know the truth? And he just wasn't ready to follow the truth. And he said, you know, I got plenty of time. I'm very young. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day, this was about a couple months after that talk. I was at home, and I was living at home with my mom. She said, she saw something on the news, and she said, hey, Mike, do you know a guy? I heard you talk about a guy who plays football, a Samoan guy. I said, yeah. Does he go to El Camino College where you go? Yeah. She said, hey, you need to come look. It was a news report on TV. Mm-hmm. And I found out that he had died. And you know, he was a really good guy. In fact, I think they proved that he didn't do anything wrong here. They were just afraid of him because they were two big Samoan guys. And both of them were shot right in their yard. And I just think about, what if this guy, Italia, would have listen to the truth? What if this guy would have seen that Jesus, through the scriptures, was loving him? That it wasn't taking away from his life. Yeah. It wasn't saying to him, hey, if you become a Christian now, I know you're young, really what you're going to do is you mess up your life if you follow me. If he would have seen the truth in that, if he would have seen the love that Jesus had for him, I don't know if this still would have happened or not, but I know one thing, his eternal destiny would have been different. Yeah. I know that. And so whenever I think about the truth, I think about this story, because it really convicts me that, you know, in the times, sometimes I want to not tell the truth, and I'm afraid to tell the truth, or even for myself, sometimes I'm afraid for myself to follow the truth. Mm-hmm. But I always think about Italia, and I think about that this man, he was probably 21 or 22, I think, at that time, right around where I was. This man could have had a whole different outcome if he would have just seen the truth as love. And so today I just really want to, you know, just encourage us all to really think about that. That sometimes when we hear the truth, whether it's in the scriptures or even someone shows you something or talks to you about it, it doesn't mean they don't love you. But what it means is that they probably really do love you. Another quote here, it says, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. You know, and we want to make sure that we're not hypocrites, and we want to make sure that we don't do things in brutality. And so we know that truth has got to be out of love. Truth can't just be like, I go around, I tell people what to do, and I get, you know, that's fun. But truth has got to be based on love, and it's always got to follow the example of Jesus. And we've got to really carry that into our life and really be comfortable with truth and really see it as love. You know, this morning, do you view the truth as love? If I said to you, we're going to talk, the second today when I said we're going to talk about love and truth, did you go, oh man, what kind of love is that? I mean, think about that. Some of us probably had that reaction. But when we really look at Jesus, he loved a lot differently than sometimes we do. You know, do you keep from telling the truth, to whether to your friends in this, the brothers and sisters in this room? Do you keep from even telling yourself the truth? Sometimes we can skip over scriptures because we don't want to see it. You know, do we stay away from telling people that we're studying with the truth? Because, you know, sometimes the result is going to be a person walking away from us. But we've got to see love for what it is. Yeah. Jesus loved us in complete truth. And he's also loved us in complete grace. Yeah. You know, I'm thankful that I get to follow this example, and I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that he had this kind of love for me, and that I get to carry it on, and we all get to carry it on. In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." You know, we get to carry on the love of Jesus. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes in it. Right? Yeah. Because Jesus was the only one that could be 100 and 100. I want to be there, and I'll try to be there, and I want to encourage you to try to be there too. But the reality is, we'll probably never be like Jesus. But we get the opportunity to carry on this love throughout the church. We get the opportunity to carry this, well, first starting with yourself, and then starting throughout the church, and then we get to carry this love into the lost world. You know, and that's the amazing thing. And I'm so grateful that I'm a Christian. And I'm so grateful that Jesus loves me enough to tell me the truth. Because I think about when I study the Bible, if I didn't see the truth as being love at that time, I could have just said no. And you probably could have too. But we got to continue in our life to see Jesus telling us the truth as being loving. You know, it's not, being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be a popular person sometimes. Yeah. You know, you probably won't be the most popular person on campus or at your work by telling the truth. Yeah. That's the way it is. We're not here, though, for a popularity contest. Right. We're here to display Jesus' love to the best, fullest extent that we can. And so today, as we think about these scriptures, you know, I want to encourage you to speak the truth in love like Jesus did. Remember, it has to include love. It has to include grace. It has to, and we're going to get there. But we got to make sure that truth is what we communicate as well. Ephesians 4:15, you can just write that down, speaking in the truth and love. You know, but we first, in order for us to do this properly, we've got to see Jesus as 100% truth and 100% love. Amen. Because until we see him as that, we're going to sway to one side or the other. And so I'm grateful, and hopefully you're grateful for the love, just for how much Jesus loves us by telling us the truth. Amen.